You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Ross Briley, Rory Delaghi and Kevin O'Malley in the studio. Good day to look forward to as well. It's Doncaster, Yarmouth and Cartmel on Friday afternoon, Chester, Newmarket and Newcastle in the evening, and a good card at Newcastle as well. On day two of their three-day meeting for the Northumberland Plate. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Ah, very good afternoon to you, Mark. Yeah, very well indeed. Enjoying the sunshine, and we're on the slippery slope, aren't we? The longest day has been and gone.
It has.
Counting down to those dark nights, those chilly mornings, and Santa.
That's quite a way away yet, though, Pimmy.
I know it is, it won't take long to come around. Don't you worry about that.
Yeah.
Once we get the August meeting at York, it's a slippery slope then, young fella.
Just pull your mic in a little bit, Pimmy. It's a bit distant there.
Okay. How's that feeling?
That's better.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me calling?
But while the sun is shining, Pimmy, and we're in the height of summer, we have some good racing going on.
Oh, stunning racing going on, yeah. I mean, there's so much of it. That's the other thing that, you know, even our best statisticians in the shape of Andrew Mount and Rory Delaggio can't keep up with all the racing, can they? Goodness gracious me. So a mere mortal as myself sometimes gets flooded out with it, to say the least.
Yeah. One thing I'm sure you'll be paying your attention to on Saturday, though, Pimmy, will be the Irish Derby.
Yes.
Big news over the last couple of days is that US Army Ranger will not run. Aidan O'Brien wasn't happy with the scope and therefore not going for the Irish Derby. Harzand, little bit of a question mark around his participation, although he has been declared and he does head the market at the moment at even money. 15-8 for Idaho, who finished third in the Epsom Classic. 8-1 for Red Verdon, who has been supplemented for the race. Moonlight Magic 12-1, 16's Port Douglas 33-1, or bigger prices for the others.
Yeah, obviously there was issues with Harzand before he won the Investec Derby. And there's obviously a few issues now. I mean, I think the great thing about Dermot Wells is he's basically tried to keep us informed as much as he could.
Yep.
And that's always, helpful. And again, I can see them going right down to the wire, deciding whether he's going to run or not. Obviously, that wasn't an ideal prep for the English Derby. It's not an ideal prep for the Irish Derby, where you've got a first prize of €854,000 on offer. But by the same token, you do know he's in good hands, and that's a big bonus if you are a fan of Harzand. And I think, to be fair, this is a more conventional track for him at the Curragh. It's flat, it's level. I think that'll even play to his strengths even more. And with the US Army Ranger out the race through a bad scope. Now, anybody who's listening about a bad scope, basically what it is, it's an endoscope that they put up the horse's nose, down through his throat and into his lungs, and that'll check in if there's any mucus, any gunge, any dirt in there, which maybe he might just be harbouring a little bit of a bug, and that's obviously been the case with him. So, that's a negative. You wouldn't want him to be running with that, because he's certainly going to run under par if he's carrying a little bit of a bug and virus. So you can see where the O'Briens are coming from. Idaho, well, again, he ran well enough in the Derby. Again, I didn't particularly think there was any real excuses for him. So, you know, I think what you see is what you get. If Harzand takes his chance, I think it'd be difficult for Idaho to overcome that Derby form. And Red Verdon been supplemented by the Ed Dunlop team. Again, you could actually say he was slightly unlucky with one or two issues that happened in the Investec Derby. But by the same token, you know, he's still got a mountain to climb for me if he's going to land the spoils. Bold shout to supplement him, but at the end of the day, there's only one Derby in Ireland.
Yeah. So who wins it, Pimmy? That's the question.
Well, if he takes his chance, Harzand's a good thing for me.
All right, OK. One of the other big races on Saturday is the Northumberland Plate. We've got the final deck through for that. 20 runners declared for the first Northumberland Plate on an artificial surface. Significant absentee from the lineup as well. Danny Day, who was one of the favourites earlier on in the week for the race, hasn't made it in. So that shakes it up a little bit. Steve Rogers, 7-1 at the moment. Nikita, 8-1 with Polarisation. 10-1 Seymour. 11's Gang Warfare. 12-1 My Reward. 14-1 for Gabriel the Hero. Moscato, Nearly Caught. No Heretic and Saigon City, also 14s and 16s. Or bigger for the rest. As it stands, Pimmy, what would your play be in the Northumberland play?
I mean, 7-1 tells its own story. We can back each way. We can get paid out on the first four home. Happy days there. I think there's an interesting one or two that you can take your chance. I think the Chester Cup form actually could be quite important here with the shape of No Heretic, who, again, to be fair, was out of his depth last time at Royal Ascot, but he's back to a more sensible level on Saturday. So I think he could still be a player despite that disappointing run last time. And I think more than likely he didn't see the 2.5 miles out at Royal Ascot. This 2 mile triple certainly suited him better. I think Polarisation's interesting. You know, he'd been plying his trade over hurdles with the John Ferguson team, back with Charlie Appleby. I think he could be an interesting player as well. And obviously Nikita, who finished second to No Heretic at Chester, you know, he ran a cracker in defeat there. He's been specifically prepared for this race by Ian Jardine, who at this moment in time is in tremendous form. So you'd have to put him in the equation as well. And you'd also got to think that Brian Ellison's desperate to win the Northumberland Plate, and he's represented by Seymour, who again ran well enough last time we saw him and could well be a player. So as the betting suggests, very wide open race. I'm going to take the Chester form to come to the fore once again, and I think the 1-2 in the Chester Cup could be big players on Saturday.
Yeah, Chester Cup form usually is quite a good indicator for the Northumberland Plate as well, isn't it?
So, yeah, and again, it was, you know, solid, I thought, the form this year.
Yeah. I suppose the only question mark is transferring that form from turf to Tapita, but the surface looks pretty good from what I've seen of it.
Listen, everybody's, you know, raving about the surface, saying it's fantastic, it's a level playing field, and again, I should imagine that, you know, unless you've got a horse that genuinely needs difference, as in wants it very firm or very soft, this surface at Newcastle should suit anything in between.
Yep. Good. Anything else on your mind, Pimmy, before we move on?
No, I don't think so. No, I think everything seems quite rosy in the garden at the moment. We just keep our head down, keep kicking, and keep waiting for those 9:20s to come back in at Kempton Park.
I personally heard you wanted to be put down for most of the 9:20 finishes.
If at all possible, and if there's any later, even better.
Well, we do have US racing on betting TV now, Pimmy, if you want to stay all night.
Oh, that could be me, couldn't it? Yeah. Bet TV. You don't see your face, though, do you, on
Bet
TV?
No, you don't. No.
No, that's okay then.
Yeah, they'll let you in on that.
I was going to say, I don't want to frighten the viewer as well. Goodness gracious, it's bad enough frightening the listeners away on William Hill Radio without seeing the face as well.
Yeah. Let's move on from that.
I think it might be a bad idea. Yeah,
we got some good racing coming up on Friday. Pimmy's got four races for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Good card at Newcastle on Friday, as we mentioned. We're going to move on to that in a moment or two, but we're starting at Doncaster in their 3:45, and this one is a Class 3 handicap over a mile. It's for the three-year-olds in a field of nine here, Pimmy. Some nice enough three-year-olds in here as well. What do you make of it?
Oh, good little race this. Very competitive. Class 3, nine of them go to post, and there's one or two here that look like they've got progressive profiles. Hayley Bott was a nice winner last time out for the very much informed Mark Johnson and Joe Fanning. I'm not sure we're going to pronounce this. Nimmer, from the Fahy Yard. That ran really well in defeat 41 days ago. You've got Hornsby, who we haven't seen for 358 days, but Charlie Appleby can certainly get them to strip fit on debut. So that's another interesting one. And the other interesting one that I thought was very unexposed is Takoum, trained by Marcus Tregoning and ridden by Paul Hannigan. So plenty of horses coming into this race with what could be very progressive profiles, but when push comes to shove, tongue tie on for the first time, I think Nimir can get the job done.
Good. Nimir then, the selection for Pimmy in the 3:45 at Doncaster. Our next race is the 6:10 at Newcastle, which is a Class 4 handicap over a mile. It's for the 3-year-olds and older, in a field of 13 here. And quite a competitive race to start the card at Newcastle on Friday night, Pimmy. But I suppose a few people will be looking at Mutter Mid to start with, given that he arrives in good form.
I think that's right. And it's a big night on Tyneside as well, isn't it, on Friday and Saturday. I think big turnouts usually expected on the Friday night, followed by a sellout crowd for the Pitman's Derby on the Sunday. And yeah, Mutamid, interesting sort indeed. Won off a mark of 74 last time out. Handicapper put him up £4 for that success at Kempton. But it was an eye-catching success. It was a success of a horse that looks to be going well. Don't know too much about Ishmael Mohammed, the trainer, but with his small string, he does seem to be doing very well. And obviously, with the assistance of the man of the moment, Adam Kirby, you're certainly going to lack nothing from the saddle there. So certainly a positive player. And the other one I thought was interesting could have been the Kevin Ryan runner, Count Monte Cristo, who 22 days ago finished second behind Courton Ladd at Ripon. Went up a pound for his troubles there. But again, this more conventional track and surface could well suit him a little bit better tomorrow evening. So two against the field in that handicap. It's going to be Count Monte Cristo and what I would imagine would be the favourite, Mutamid.
Couple against field then for Pimmy there in the 6.10. And let's move on to the 6.45 at Newcastle next, the Gosforth Park Cup. This is a Class 2 handicap over 5 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, 14 of them in the betting, plenty with chances. It's going to be one of the more open betting races on the day, Pimmy.
Absolutely wide open race, wide open. And, you know, a couple of trainers here doubly represented. Mick Easterby's represented with Bosham, who had a wonderful winter on the artificial surface. Bosun's Fred, who's been in cracking form of late. You've got Richard Fahey with a number of runners as well, Patrick and Alvento. And you've also got David Barron with two runners in the shape of Steel River and Fast Track. Not many of these, to be fair, are coming into this race on the back of really exciting form. As I say, Bosham was in great form during the winter. Fred, again, has been in good form for the Easterby Yard. He's also been running really well of late, but whether that bubble's going to burst now, the handicapper is just starting to take his toll on his horses, remains to be seen. So I think you've got to look at Robert Cowell with his horse on Cordor, who, to be fair, you know, he can do no wrong, Cowell, with his sprinters. Pieces on for the first time, could just get him back to winning ways. But I'm going to take a real strange slant on this race.
Okay.
I'm looking for value. I should imagine they're both going to be double-figure prices and better. And I'm going to go for a David Barron pair to run above what they've been running of late. So I'm going to take Steel River and Fast Track to put some disappointing efforts behind them and run a big race at what I should imagine will be big prices.
Yeah, long time since either of those won, Pimmy.
I know, a long, long time. In fact, I got my form book out, which was a little bit dusty and a little bit, you know, crinkled at the edges, but it was 2014 since both of them have last won. So again, we've got to imagine that they've been in the wilderness. Maybe their confidence isn't sky high, but I just think they could be getting themselves in a position in the handicap where they could put their best foot forward.
Yeah, David Barron, good record in this race as well. He won it in 2014 with Robot Boy and in 2013 with Magical Macy.
Yeah, that might have actually come into my equation without me telling you.
Yeah, of course. You keep some up your sleeve, don't you?
Of course you do, of course you do.
Moving on.
Paul Daniels lives on.
Yes. Yeah. 7.45 at Newcastle next, then. This is the Hopping Stakes, a filly's listed race over a mile and a quarter. We've got a field of 11 here. And again, Pim, it's a similar story for Newcastle on Friday evening. An open race. So how have you deciphered this one for us?
Well, I think this is a cracker, absolute cracker. Some really interesting fillies in this lineup. And again, I think there could be a little bit more to come from one or two of them. Obviously, you've got Sound of Freedom, who ran fourth in the Nottinghamshire Oaks last time out. That was a plenty good enough run for her. Again, plied her trade mainly in her native Italy before coming over to Marco Botti. So, again, on official rating, she's a serious player. You've got the top one, Chain of Daisies, who ran when the Candy Yard, to be fair, weren't in the best of form up at Ayr last time out. But again, Henry Candy's turned the corner. His horses are in much better form now. If you can put a line through that runner, Air, and forgive her, then she's definitely a player on her previous form. And again, off a mark of 103, certainly puts her in there with more than a squeak. And the other one I thought that was an interesting one is the Roger Varian filly, Neswa, who, to be fair, we haven't possibly seen the best of her yet. There's a lot more to come from her. She's one of the most unexposed fillies in the race. and a big fan of Roger Varian as a trainer, as too of the jockey Harry Bentley. And again, although unofficial ratings has a little bit to find, I think Nesmar could certainly up a game tomorrow evening.
Is that the pick then you're going with Nesmar?
Nesmar is the selection.
Good stuff. Yeah, just looking through past winners of this race, Pimmy. Covert Love won this race last year. She went on to win the Irish Oaks. So if we get another one of those fillies...
Mean, this is a real good race, a real big stepping stone for one of these. And that's why I've gone for something a little less exposed than one or two of the others that possibly would have a better official rating.
Yeah, I like it. Good stuff for me. Let's just have a little bit of a summary then before you go, if you'll just spin us through your selections for Friday then.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to some tremendous action on Friday. The selections are starting in the 3:45 at Doncaster in the shape of the Richard Fye train Namir. Moving up north to Newcastle for their 4:10, taking two against the field here in this very tricky handicap with 13 runners heading to post. Number two, Count Monte Cristo, and number four, Muta Mid, who more than likely will be sent off favourite. Then we've got the Gosforth Park Cup, very competitive 5 furlong sprint, taking a little bit of a sideway view on this race and looking towards the two David Barron runners, Steel River and Fast Track, who should certainly give you a little bit of value for money. And in the listed race for the girls at 7:45, going to go with the fairly unexposed Nesmar.
Superb, good work, Pimmy. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Good luck and enjoy on Friday.
Looking forward to it.
So there you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 PM. Ross Briley, Rory DeLaghi and Kevin O'Malley will be the team in the studio. It's Doncaster, Yarmouth and Cartmel on Friday afternoon, Chester, Newmarket and Newcastle in the evening. A real good day to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.